Today, Lag BaOmer is a very special and very happy day for the Yidden. It even comes up La Halacha. The Ramah tells us in Tav Tzadik Gimel, Sif Beis, Ramah says that we don't say Tachnun, as we noticed this morning. Umar bin Boi Ksas Simcha. There's an Indian on Lag BaOmer to be Mar bin Ksas Simcha. It's not Mamash Ad Yontif, it's not Asr Basiyas Malacha, but Mar bin Boi Ksas Simcha, there's an Indian to add Simcha. I've been asked by many people, and years before that, I've asked many people, what's the Indian exactly, the happiness on Lag BaOmer? In Chutz La'aretz, the truth is, you don't feel it as much. It's not so tangible, the fact that it's Lag BaOmer, it's not much different than counting 32 in the Omer, so we count the 33. But in Eretz Yisrael, where I was for the last 9 years in Lag BaOmer, there's an electricity that permeates the streets of Eretz Yisrael on Lag BaOmer. You can't not notice that it's Lag BaOmer. The bonfires that are made almost literally every few hundred feet, big fires, some of them mamish two or three stories high, and that's not an exaggeration. And the biggest pell of it is that the ones who take care of the bonfires are all the 7 and 8 year olds, and Beli Guzma, they spent 2 months preparing, gathering wood and gathering boxes. I mean, it's the thing my kids miss the most the whole year so far since we're here, is the hachana. Forget about Lag BaOmer itself, but the whole hachana for the Lag BaOmer. I remember my first year in Eretz Yisrael, I noticed since Pesach, everyone's gathering boxes and wood until you figure out what they're doing. And right behind in my backyard, there's like a big forest, basically, like a lot of trees. And they were setting up so close to all of it, setting up boxes and like bigger, like in this pile, like boxes and wood, setting up a fire for weeks and weeks. The kids are putting it together. Erev Lag BaOmer was already a 32 BaOmer. A few police cars pulled up while the kids were in school. I saw this from my back window. And with Agmas Nefesh, I watched as the police dismantled this whole big pile of boxes and wood and dumped it into a truck and took it away because it was very close to a forest. And they decided that it was a fire hazard. Well, the kids would have none of this when they came home. And I was reminded of the pasuk that it says about the second base HaMikdash, Godol yeh kvayr habayis hazeh ha'achrin min harishayin. And they spent the entire day with all the chaverim gathering from all over the country, boxes and wood. And I'm telling you, the fire that night was bigger than it would have been originally. But this was an ethic that mamish takes over in Eretz Yisrael. You can't not notice the excitement that takes over the streets on Lag BaOmer. What is the ikar excitement on Lag BaOmer? Everybody in Eretz Yisrael is talking about Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Hele Gitano, who wrote the Zohar HaKadosh, he was nifter on the day of Lag BaOmer. And everybody, the entire country is busy. If they're not making fires, they're going to catch buses to go to Meiron. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of buses. Busloads of people going up to Meiron. I spoke to a few of our Talmidim here in the middle of the night. It's never able to get a hold of them. And there's a time difference, but they called me at 4 o'clock in the morning from Meiron, 3 or 4 of them. We're able to speak to them. Everyone's going to Meiron, staying up the whole night, is dancing and davening and singing. Incredible aliyah that goes in the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Meiron. Now, I understand that people go to the kever on the day of the yahrzeit. That's something that's a big schus, especially such a holy tana like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, to daven, not to the mace, but to daven to Hashem in the schus of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's an incredible schus to do that on Lag BaOmer. But it's a little bit strange. It was always strange to me. The whole simcha of Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the day that the tzaddik was nifter, that's the day we make a ganza yontif. And what's the yontif? Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the day he was nifter. I understand the daven at the kever of a mace, but the day that he dies should be a yom simcha. Always struck me a little odd that would be the yontif of Lag BaOmer. And I did hear that there's a mesira that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wanted people to be happy on the day that he was nifter, and wanted to make it a shtickle yantif with rakida and happiness in a ruchniyistik way, and that's why we do it. But hagufa kasha, that to me itself was a little bit strange. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai should say that he wanted that the day that he is nifter, that should become a shtickle yantif and should be dancing and singing and aliyah. It's a strange thing why that would be a yantif. Now, obviously, to fully understand why we're supposed to be simcha, the simcha on the day of Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, would probably get us involved in the deepest secrets of Kabbalah and Sisrei Torah. I don't have the liberty to reveal everything at once. So we'll try to take one nekuda maybe one aspect that we can reach and that we can grasp, and hopefully we'll try to understand it and internalize this idea. The word Hilula de Rav Shem Bar Yochai, the word Hilula actually does not mean a simcha. Hilula doesn't mean to be happy. The word Hilula, you might have come across it in different Gemaras, Hilula means a chasana. Gemara Bracha says, Agra debe Hilula mili. The schar that a person gets by a chasana is mili. Rashi says, L'sameach esachasam bedvarim, words, nice words that you tell the chasana kala. Many different Gemaras, Hilula actually means a chasana. So Hilula, you find many places that the taich of Hilula means a chasana. So what exactly was the chasana on the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was nifted? Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, this is the chasana of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This is what we're celebrating, what the big simcha is. So the Mekubalim tell us that Klal Yisrael and Hashem have a relationship like a chasana and a kala. Like a chasana and a kala, a husband and a wife. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav, Hashem made us holy, was mekadesh us with his mitzvahs. The Sfarim say that it's not just that Hashem sanctified us, made us holy with his mitzvahs, but there's actually a kedushin going on. The Avodram says this as pshat in the bracha, and the Avodram in the beginning of the Siddur, in the bracha of Al Natilas Yadayim, so it says there for the first time in the day, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav. The Avodram says that Hashem was mekadesh us, Hashem made a kedushin with us, like a chasana and a kala. And he brings a pasuk in Hosea that we say when we put on tefillin, the Eirastich Lila Olam, that Hashem says that I've married you, an Eirasin, a Kedushin, and that's something that Hashem did to us, married us, and what was the Kesef Kedushin? What did he give us? The mitzvahs. The Eirastich Lila Emunah, Emunah can sometimes mean mitzvahs, and that's the idea that the Avodram says, Hashem Kedushanu b'mitzvahisav. So we have this special close connection and close relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. However, Kol Zman, that the neshama of a person is inside his guf, that a person is in this materialistic olam hazeh, the relationship can't get to its highest level between the neshama and Hashem. It's only a level of erisin, it's only a level of engagement. There's a certain hagbalah, there's a certain limitation that the neshama has when it tries to connect with Hashem being inside a guf. The highest level of intimacy that is possible for the neshama to get with the Rabbeinu Shalom, to get with the Shekhinah, that's a level of Nesu'in that can only be after the Neshama is removed from our guf. And that's why all the Lashonis that we have, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, the Lashon of Kiddushin, which is Erisin, that's the engagement, that's Kiddushin. Ve'erastich li la'olam is the Lashon of Erisin. Only the first stage, but the Nesu'in, the actual Nesu'in that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom, that highest Madrega, that can only come after a person's neshama is detached from his guf, then in the Olam Ha'emes he's able to reach that close connection with Hashem. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai toiled his whole life in Torah, Sisrei Torah, and Kiyum HaMitzvos to reach the highest level of that connection between his neshama and the Shekhinah. And therefore, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai felt limited because his neshama was inside his guf, even though to us he was like a malach, but he was a basar v'adam that lived inside a guf and was kemat like a malach. Kemat had no shaykhus to olam hazeh, but even so, there was some limitation that his shechina could not, that his neshama could not connect with the shechina until the day that he was nifter. And because of that, that was called, Mekubalim say, Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It was the chasana of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This is what he was leading up to his whole life, trying to build that shaykhus, that close relationship with the Shekhinah, and it only came to its greatest level at the Nisuin, at the Hilula de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai when he was nifter. Till then it was Kiddushanu and Erisin Ve'erastichli on the highest level, but it wasn't the level of Nisuin. And therefore Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, according to one understanding, commanded and wanted that there should be a simcha on the day of his Hilula, on the day of his Patira, because that was such a simcha for his own neshama that he was able to develop that closeness on a much higher level that was impossible for him to have done before, on the day of his Patira. When I started to internalize this concept that in this world the closest connection we could get to Hashem is an Erisin, and the Neshama is waiting to be independent from the Guf, to have the Nesu'in after the Patira, L'achameh V'esim. So I was thinking that really our whole life is compared then to a period of engagement. We have an Erisin, we have a connection, we have that Kedusha, the Kedushin with Hashem, but that's only like an engagement. The real marriage, the real nesu'in that our neshama is going to have with Hashem Yisbarach is only after a person, his guf and his neshama are separated. Some people have a shorter engagement, some people have a longer engagement. We hope to have a very long engagement of 120 years. But if our life is not compared to an engagement, to the Erusin, to the first step of our relationship to Hashem, what is the avoida of an engagement? You ask any chassim, you ask Ezi, you ask others, what's the avoida of engagement? The avoida of engagement is to prepare for the chasana and to prepare for marriage. People spend their whole time in engagement. You have to make preparations. You have to arrange which flowers are going to be on the table at the chasana. You have to get clothing. The kala has to get a gown. The relatives have to get their clothing. The chasana has to get a suit. You have to arrange the living quarters. You have to look into a house, buy a house. And you have to learn halachas that a person has to know for after he gets married. The whole engagement, a person is caught up in preparing for the chasana. And if that's the case, this has to be our hanhaga in this world. In this world, when we have that close relationship through the Torah and mitzvah to Hashem, but it's only as an eris into a nesuin, maybe we have to focus on what an engagement is, and that is to prepare ourselves for that hilula, to prepare ourselves for that tkufa of la'achamei v'esrim, when we can come to the nesuin. And the difference is that Hashem is the one who sets the wedding date. Hashem is the one who decides when it's going to be nesuin, and we don't know when that's going to be. We're not told exactly how long our engagement with the Rabbeinu Shalom is. But one thing we are told is that we have to use this engagement period to prepare for the Nisun, to prepare for that close connection that comes afterwards. And that is our purpose and mission in life, that we take this time that's a hachana for the close connection that our neshama can reach Hashem afterwards, and we have to utilize this time and make sure that our Nisun will be on a very high level. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that Olam Hazeh is similar to a praiser, to a lobby. B'fnei Olam Haba, haskein atzmecha b'praiser, kidei shetikanes l'tachlin. You're only in the lobby now, it's only temporary. Prepare yourself in the lobby so that you can, when you get into the banquet hall, you'll be prepared. The Olam Haba is the tachlin, but we're just now in the lobby, like an eris into nesuin. We're now in the preparing stage, preparing of the ikar. Rav Shlomo Shmadron used to tell over a mashal in the name of the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yosef Leib Loft, Maggid Speaks, page 260. And Shalom Shadron used to tell over the following mashal of an Israeli tourist who set sail to go to America. They were going to live in America for many years, and he was going with a whole group, and everyone got their dictionary, and they started preparing and started learning English, and how do you say money, and how do you say all the important words. And this guy learned that the boat is going to take the route that the boat was going to go. It was going to stop in France. It's going to stop in France for a few days and then continue to America. So he says, America is a long way off. Let me start learning a little bit of French. I'm going to be in France for 3 days. I'm not going to know how to change money. I'm not going to know how to get to the hotel. Let me learn a little bit of French. So he started buying all the books on French, and he started reading French, and he started practicing French. And for weeks and weeks, he was just talking French to his mishpacha. And sure enough, as the boat set sail, so he realized, you know, that the main destination is going to be America. He doesn't know too much English, but okay, maybe he'll learn it on the boat. And things were busy, and things weren't, he didn't have as much time as he thought he would have. And when they got to France, everyone was like in a new country, no one knew anything. And everyone was so jealous of this guy. He knew French, he was going around with his accent, he wore his French cap that he heard that everybody wears, and he was able to find a way to the hotel, he was able to change money, and he was mamish in the light in France. They were there for 3 days, everyone was jealous of him. After they got back on the boat to France, everyone started polishing up on their English, and this guy didn't know anything. He didn't know how to count, he didn't know anything in English. He prepared for France so well, he was the hotshot for 3 days. But then in the long journey, in the journey to America, where he was going to be staying for the next few years, that he wasn't prepared for. He lost the focus. He looked at what was going to be the short journey, the journey to France, but he lost focus of the big journey. And eventually he was embarrassed and realized that he came up empty-handed. He had a good 3 days, but the main journey that he was set out for, he was very unprepared for. And Avshalom Shadron used to say that many times people have this approach in life also. What's so important to us and the things we try to prepare for and focus on and spend time taking care of are things that are really the short journey, are things that are temporary. And we lose focus of the long journey, of the journey that we're heading to the Olam HaEmes. The person has to be prepared with his Torah and being Mekayim Mitzvahs properly. Sometimes a person loses focus of the Ikar journey and focuses only on the things that are temporary. The car that we drive, the house that we live in, clothes that we wear, these are things that are not important in the long run, in the long run of Nitzchis. In Nitzchis, what's important to us in the Olam HaEmes is that we involve ourselves in growing in Torah, we involve ourselves in doing mitzvahs properly. And the truth is, besides being able to see this lesson from the Erusin and the Nesuin, dogma that we said about the Hilula de Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, this lesson is taught to us by none other than Reb Shimon Bar Yochai himself. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, relates to us the story that is well known to most of us, the story of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Nevertheless, it's kedai to chazer over the story of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai on the day of his Hilula. The Gemara says there that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said derogatory words against the Roman government, and therefore they wanted to kill him. So he had to hide. He went with his son and he hid, not in a cave, he hid in a Beis Medrash. He hid in a Beis Medrash and he was learning, and his wife used to send him food. Then, after a while, after the hunt for Reb Shimon Bar Yochai started getting more intense, and he was afraid that if his wife knew, so then they'll get it out of her, that's when he went afterwards into a cave. He didn't even tell his wife where he was. He went together with Rabbi Elazar and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. They went together, the two of them, they learned in a cave, and in the cave already his wife couldn't send food, and that's when Hashem made the miracle that a carob tree grew and a spring of water. They were able, the Mesiris Nefesh, to learn there, and they ended up staying there for 12 years, involved totally in Limud HaTorah and Ruchnius and nothing but Ruchnius. Finally, after 12 years, Eliyahu HaNavi came to the door of the cave, and he told them that the emperor had died, and therefore there's nothing to worry about, they could come out. So sure enough, they slowly edged out, and they came out of the cave, and they looked around, and they saw people. The first thing they saw, people were involved in plowing the ground and planting, involved in working on the field. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai looked up and said, "Manichin chayei oilam v'oiskin b'chayei shah." Manichin chayei oilam. These people are forsaking the pursuit of oilam haba v'oiskin b'chayei shah. They're occupying themselves instead with the pursuit of chayei shah, of a temporary world. And he couldn't be soivel this for 12 years. He was sitting and learning, preparing for his Hilula, preparing for the Olam HaEmes. And here he comes out, and what are people focused on? Planting and plowing and harvesting. Things that are Chayisha. Not that being involved in Chayisha is Asr. But he saw that it was their focus. That was the whole thing that they were concentrating on. That was something he couldn't be soivel. Atkei dekach, that when he looked around, it said that every place that he looked would go up in flames. Mamash, everything that he looked at burnt from the Kedusha that he had, and a baskel came out and said, "Lahachiv oilami yitasim." That's why you came out, to destroy my world, to look around and burn everything. And they had to go back into the cave, and only 1 year later they were ready to come out. But that was the lesson that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us, that a person shouldn't be focused only on the Chayei Shah. The long run, he has to prepare for that long journey, the journey of the Chayei Olam. So in addition to the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the day of the Yahrzeit being a day of Simcha for us, as Reb Shimon Bar Yochai told us that we should be b'Simcha on the day that he had his Hilula, it also should be a wake-up call for us to think into ourselves, are we being Oisik too much in the Chayei Shah as opposed to the Chayei Olam? About it's mutter to eat good food, and it's mutter to play ball, and it's mutter to rest up and do a lot of fun things, but that shouldn't be our focus in life. What do we have to show for ourselves? That it shouldn't be only Chayei Shah dika things. It should be Chayei Olam. A person has to always remember that the quality and the depth of his relationship, that his Shechina, that his neshama will have with the Shechina, la'achameya ve'asim, is only in as much as he prepares for it in this world. Hayoyim la'asoysam ulumacho l'kabel sfarim. That these days, when a person is in this world, that's his time to do Torah and mitzvahs. And la'amacho l'kabel sfarim, that's when his neshama gets the close connection to Hashem, which is the greatest star that he could get for all the good things that he does in this world. Maybe Befrat, when Lag BaOmer comes out on a Friday, on Erev Shabbos, we could be reminded of this, not just with the mashal of Lag BaOmer, which is like an Eris, it shows us that life is like an Eris into an Nesuin, but in Erev Shabbos itself, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, tells us that Olam HaZeh is like Erev Shabbos, and Olam HaBa is like Shabbos. Misha Tarach BeErev Shabbos, Yoichal BeShabbos. If a person works hard on Erev Shabbos, how do you get food on Shabbos? You have to prepare Erev Shabbos, either you or your wife or the cook in the yeshiva, but someone has to cook the food, someone has to buy the right food and the right ingredients. That's how you get food on Shabbos. Misha loy tarach b'Erev Shabbos, meheichon yoichal b'Shabbos. And the Gemara is telling us, a mashal, the same thing in Olam HaEmes. How is a person going to get the proper schar in the Olam HaEmes? That's only Misha tarach b'Erev Shabbos, if someone is tarach in this world. He's tarach, if he does the Torah and the mitzvahs here in this world, then he's able to enjoy the Shabbos, the real Olam Haba. Shabbos is a me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a reminder. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Taka says in the Zohar and Parshas Bereishis, when he's talking about Shabbos, he says Shabbos is a dugma da'alma da'asi. Shabbos is a sample, it's a dugma of the next world. And Erev Shabbos then is a dugma of this world. The idea is the mashal of Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. We should think about this on Erev Shabbos when we're taking the shower and getting ready for Shabbos and buying soda for Shabbos and buying things for Shabbos, that our whole life in this world is really compared to an Erev Shabbos preparing for a Shabbos. Misha tarach b'Erev Shabbos, yoicha b'Shabbos. So Sai being the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, to recognize the word Hilula being a Nisuin and to remember that we're now in a stage of preparing for that Hilula, preparing for that Nisuin. And Sai being Erev Shabbos, that we should remember Misha tarach b'Erev Shabbos, Yoicha b'Shabbos, we have to think about this and try to make a commitment to focus on the important things in life, in our growing, in our connection to Hashem, in our Torah and Yiras Shemayim. We all know that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, were nifter in this tkufa between Pesach la'atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. Gemara in Yevamos Amud Beis Amud Beis tells us that there were 24,000 Talmidim that died. And the Sfarim tell us, it's not Mefurish in the Gemara, but the Sfarim tell us that on Lag Ba'omer is when the dying stopped. Actually, the Meiri on that Gemara, the Meiri in Yevamos says, probably the earliest source of this, Kabbalah B'yad HaGa'onim, you have a Kabbalah straight from the Ga'onim, Shebiyoim Lamed Gimel Ba'omer Pascha HaMisa. Kabbalah, the Ga'onim already told us that even though the Gemara says they died Mipesach Paratzeres, on Lag Ba'omer the Misa stopped. The Meiri says, V'noyagim Mitoch Kach Shaloy L'his Anoiz Boi. So we don't fast on Lag Ba'omer, it's a Shtikl Yontif, because that was the day of Pascha HaMisa. I'm not going to get involved in this part of Lag Ba'omer so much, but just one nekuda that I want to bring out about the story of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva is something that Rabbi Gedalia Shur points out in his Sefer Or Gedalio. Has a few pieces on Lag Ba'omer. In his last piece, he points out a very interesting thing, that we can learn from the story of Rabbi Akiva that a person should never give up hope. Picture what's going on. Rabbi Akiva had so many Talmidim. I'm sure they were very chashev Talmidim if they were Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 of them were nifter. The Gemara says the world was desolate, was shamin, desolate in a ruchni stick away. And Rabbi Akiva could have been very depressed and very despondent and gave it all up, but he didn't. He forged ahead with no Talmidim, and he found five other Talmidim, and he made these Talmidim, and the Gemara says that these Talmidim were Hamidu Torah B'Ais HaShah. They kept things going. And who were these Talmidim that he built? He built Rabbi Meir, famous Talmidim that we all know of. We've all learned so much of their Torah. Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Lazar the Tana, and Rabbi Shimon. And who is Rabbi Shimon? Rashi in Shavuos, Daf Beis Amud Beis tells us, Sam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. One of the five Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva took over after all his Talmidim died was Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Our very own Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, whose yahrzeit is today, this was one of the Talmidim. But these were people who kept it going. These were people who revitalized Torah. Rabbi Akiva, together with his Talmidim, brought it back to life. And Rabbi Akiva teaches us with this that it's never too late. Even if a person lost 24,000 Talmidim, he shouldn't give up hope. He shouldn't have that feeling of Yish. He should forge ahead and go back there and build Torah again, just like the Eden did when there was such a Churban in Europe. They moved to the shores of America, whoever was left, and they built it again. They forged ahead. You have to look to the head, to the future, and not be so concerned and so sad about the past. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was well aware of this concept that it's never too late to start again. Rabbi Akiva himself started his whole drive in Yiras Shemayim and Torah when he was 40 years old. And from that, he was able to get to the level of 24,000 Talmidim. Hashem took it all away from him. 24,000 Talmidim doesn't make a difference. He doesn't look back. He'll forge ahead. And this is a big chizuk for all of us who are trying to make that commitment of focusing on the Chai Olam and not focusing on the Chai Isha, focusing on things that are important in life. A person can naturally, when he gets his goals and his sheifas to grow so high, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai trying to teach us, that we shouldn't be focused only on the Chai Isha, we should be focused on the Chai Olam. We could look back at so many wasted years that we had in our lives and think feelings of years. I think if Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would come out of the cave, if he would look at me, I would burn up in a second. I'm someone who represents Chai Isha. Everything that I think of, everything that I do for the last so many years is all involved in Chai Isha. How many times do I actually think of Chai Olam? But this is something that's a treifa mentality. This is something when a person thinks a yish of all the wasted years, that's something that's not a Torah Dika Ashkafa. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has a classic expression that he writes in Or Yisrael, in the seventh letter, in Michtav Zayin. He writes there, Ein lecha machla kemachlas hayish. Ein lecha machla. There is no illness and sickness that's as bad as machlas hayish, the sickness of when a person feels depressed and feels yish, he feels like he gives up hope. It's mamash's sickness. It's not something that's a psychological thing. It's a yish. When a person is yish, it can affect his goof, it can affect all parts of him. When a person looks back, a person who was trying to make the commitment to chayi olam, he doesn't have to look at all the years of his chayi shor attitude. If you look ahead, the Gemara and Yuma tells us, habali tayar mesayin aysa. Gemara and Yuma, daf lamed chasam beis. The Gemara says, if someone comes and he tries to be pure, mesayin aysa, Hashem helps him. It's not easy to change your whole style and decide every morning when you wake up, what can I do to be Isaac and Chai Olam, to daven with a minion correctly, to daven, give enough time to daven, to give enough time for learning. Something a person has to adjust his schedule and his whole approach to his life. But habali tayar, if a person comes with the right intent, mesayin aysoi, a person has to keep that in mind when they look to the future, that it's never too late. Anybody could be a Talmud Chacham. A person thinks, I'm not holding on such a madrega, I'm starting a little later in the game. Anyone could be a Talmud Chacham. I went once with my father to the Rudiman's Atzal. We were in Baltimore, and my father took me. I said, I wanted a bracha. My father took me to a Rudiman. He said, my son wants a bracha to become a Talmud Chacham. The Rudiman looked me in the eye. I was all about 10 years old, maybe. And he said, if you learn, you become a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is not a bracha. It's not a school for having children. It's not a. If you learn, you become a Talmud Chacham. That's it. There's nothing to do. That's what it is. A person who wants, if he learns, to become a Talmud Chacham, it's a guarantee. I learned this week with Yaakov Metz, we were learning Gemara and Shabbos. I think it's Mavur and Arashi and Shabbos, like this Yisoy that Rav Ruderman told me, that if a person learns to become a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Tavchav Gimel Amid Beis, that if someone is Dachel Mei Rabbanan, someone has fear, has Yira from a Talmud Chacham, so then, Iyu Atzmai, who Gufei Havitzur Mei Rabbanan. He's going to become a Talmud Chacham. The person has fear from a Talmud Chacham. He fears the words of the Talmud Chacham and the Talmud Chacham himself. So he himself will become a Talmud Chacham. The Elav Bar Hachihu. The Gemara says if he's not capable of becoming a Talmud Chacham, then Mishtam and Nili Ketzur Mei Rabbanan. His reward will be not that he'll become a Talmud Chacham. If he's not capable of being a Talmud Chacham, his reward will be that at least his words will be heard, will be an influential person, just like a Talmud Chacham's words are heard. So at least he'll have that my love of Talmud Chacham as well, that people will listen to what he says. So Rashi says, what does the Gemara mean, e lav bar hachiyu, if someone is not capable of being a Talmud Chacham? Rashi says, she'ein ayrogil lasayt b'tayre. Means a person who doesn't sit and learn Torah, a person who's not oisip b'tayre. That's the only person that Rashi could find that's not capable of being a Talmud Chacham. I would have had a Pirish Avram thrown on the Gemara. Someone is not capable of being a Talmud Chacham if he's not a big Balkishon, if he's not a big Lamdan, if he has ADD. But he's not capable of sitting and learning and being a Talmud Chacham. Rashi says no. Rashi's Barbet, a Shver Gemara, Yilav Barachu. Person is not capable of being a Talmud Chacham. How is someone not capable of being a Talmud Chacham? There's only one way. She'ein ayrogil lasek b'tayra. If you learn, you'll be a Talmud Chacham. Like Rav Ruderman said, if a person is oisek b'tayra, no matter what he's coming, no matter what it says on his resume, if he's oisek b'tayra, he'll be a Talmud Chacham. The only one who's not capable of being a Talmud Chacham is someone who's not willing to try. If he's ain't a rogel lasek b'tayra, for some people it takes a little longer. Some people chap quickly. Some people understand they're learning very easily. And for some people it takes a little longer. But no one does it take as long as the famous Talmud of Rabbi Preda. Maran Ervin, Tafnun Dalet Amid Beis, tells us a story of Rabbi Preda. The Tana Rabbi Preda, who usually used to teach a certain Talmud 400 times, the Talmud was not able to understand the learning until he said the Shir to him 400 times. Say, I don't envy Rabbi Preda, but I do envy Rabbi Preda. He's able to do it. But 400 times he had to tell a certain Talmud. And one day somebody came to him right in the beginning of his shir when he was talking to this bacher, and he told him about a bar mitzvah that he has to take care of after he finishes. So he said he'll do it when he finishes, and he taught the Talmud 400 times, and afterwards he said, do you understand? And the Talmud said, no. And he said, how come you don't understand? 400 times, this is your quota. 400 times, after 400 times you understand. And he said, because they came in and told Rebbe that he has to leave and take care of something, so every time you explained it to me, I was thinking that you have one foot out, that maybe you have to run, you have to go, and this is going to be your last time explaining it. And I got all nervous. So I lost my concentration, and I don't understand anything after 400 times. So Preda said, okay, listen, I'm not going anywhere. We're going to do it again. And he explained to him another 400 times. That day, Preda taught his Talmud 800 times the same idea that he was trying to teach him. And a baskel came out after 800 times, and the Talmud understood. A baskel came out and said to Rabbi Preda, because you did this, you could be zeicha to live another 400 years, or you could be zeicha that you and your generation will have a special place in Olam Haba. And Rabbi Preda chose, Basko gave him the choice, and Rabbi Preda chose that him and his generation should have a special place in Olam Haba. And the Basfal and Hashem said that since we prayed and chose that, he's going to get both. Him and his generation will go to Olam Haba, and also he'll live an extra 400 years. And it's an incredible thing, the patience of Rabbi Prater to teach his Talmud every day 400 times, and today 800 times. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to say that more than he's nispal from Rabbi Prater, is he nispal from the Talmud. The Talmud would have to sit 400 times. Could you imagine the devotion and the dedication of a Talmud who's thick and he doesn't understand anything? And at 350 times he still doesn't know the Gemara. And 390 times he still doesn't know the Gemara. And then Rabbi Prater teaches him 400 times, finally, that's when he digests it. And he does it, and not only does he do this day in and day out, have a ruggle that Rabbi Prater used to teach him on an Eifen Kavua, that was the standard, to learn 400 times. But one day he was honest with his Rebbe that he didn't understand it after 400 times, and he listened to it another 400 times. 800 times, can you imagine hearing something 799 times without understanding it, and still saying, Rebbe, could you do that one more time? Could you say it one more time, and trying to understand it? Chaim Shmulevitz used to say even more impressive to him than Rabbi Prater is the devotion of the Talmud, who understood that he's not as quick as the other guys in the shir, but he had the dedication to understand it. And I heard once someone saying that if Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz is right, that the Talmud, such an impressive Talmud, so how come the Baskel came to Rabbi Prater? How come the Baskel didn't come to the Talmud? And the answer that I heard is that the Baskel didn't want to repeat it 400 times. So that's what the Baskel came to Rabbi Prater. But either way, that's what Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says, that we have to chap his spirus from the Talmud, from Azat Talmud. And when a person is thinking that he wants to shtag and he wants to understand his learning, and this is something that Rashi tells him in Shabbos, that the only way you won't be a Talmud Chacham is if you don't learn. But if you sit and you learn, you'll be a Talmud Chacham. And still he's learning and he's trying and he doesn't understand. The person has to be patient with himself, just like the Rebbe was patient with his Talmud, and the Talmud was patient with himself. Be patient and try to understand it, no matter how long it takes. Our tefillah, we should just understand that when we're trying to focus on the Chayei Olam, and that should be our she'ifa in life, the Chayei Olam, we should remember the nusach that we say in the second of the Birchas HaTorah, when a person gets an aliyah, v'chayei olam nota b'sayfeinu. Hashem implanted the capability within each and every one of us for that Chayei Olam. That Chayei Olam, that's our whole goal in life, our mission in life, to get to that Chayei Olam. Hashem gave us the capability, it was nota b'sayfeinu, and we should never think that it's beyond us. So our tefillah, Hamlach Bo'omer, the Yom of the Hilula of the Heilige Tana of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, is that we should be zoicha to make that commitment to focus on our engagement, which means to prepare for our Hilula. We shouldn't get caught up in the Chayei Shah and lose focus of the long journey, the journey of the Chayei Olam. And once we set our priorities straight, Hashem should send us the Siyata Deshmaya, that we should be able to grow in our understanding of Torah and in our Kiyum and Mitzvahs properly. Through that, we should elevate our neshama to the highest possible level and fulfill our purpose and mission in this world.